Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, if you're like me, a visit to the emergency room is usually fraught with high anxiety due to the crisis-like nature of what often brings you there, as well as fear of long waits and unsure outcomes. But it really doesn't have to ratchet up the anxiety to that degree. And since knowing changes everything, we've decided to introduce a new segment on HealthLink on Air to address just that. Joining me this morning to help kick it off is Dr. Derek Cooney, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine and the Director of Emergency Medical Services and Disaster Medicine at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Cooney. Thanks for coming in today.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
So, just a bit of housekeeping to start. What have you decided, or what have we decided, actually, together to call this new segment?
Well, I think because emergency medicine experiences are so varied and there are so many different things that you might need emergency services for, I think the best name for this segment would be What's Your Emergency?
Sounds good. We'll keep it. What's Your Emergency? So what's the goal, though, in your mind for having a segment like this on air?
Well, you know, many people have many different reasons to seek emergency care. And what we want to do is we want to talk about each one of these circumstances and areas of concern so that our listeners will have a better idea about, gee, this is a real problem and I need to get into the emergency department, or is this something that can be looked at by my regular doctor?
Or, and can wait.
Right, and can it wait? Do I need to call the ambulance? Should I go in my own car? How serious, you know, should I be feeling that what I noticed today about my own health, how serious should I be thinking that is?
You know, with all the different options in a way, I mean, yes, they're all options, not always all accessible, but, you know, you can go to urgent care, you can call your doctor, as you mentioned, you can go to the ED. With all those different options, sometimes it's really difficult to figure out if something occurs. Let's say you're home on a weekend, something's gone on, you know, that you're concerned about. Whether, I mean, something as obvious as a trauma, like you've just dropped an axe on your foot, is a little different than some of these other things that can occur. But sometimes it's hard to decide what to do.
Exactly, and I'm hoping that that's what we're going to be able to do. We're going to bring different experts in different fields also in to talk about these issues. We're going to have other emergency medicine doctors, but also have neurologists, neurosurgeons, trauma surgeons, cardiologists. My hope is that we can bring all of these different folks in to talk about what they offer in emergency situations.
I think it's also important for people to understand what happens in an emergency room. I think there are a lot of myths out there. You know, I think people often think, well, I'm just going to be sitting there for 20 hours before anyone even talks to me. That kind of, you know, negative myth. And I think it's important to maybe make the emergency room more accessible to people and to really understand right up front what they can expect.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if we could talk some about that today, that might help our listeners understand, you know, if you know what's going to happen next, there's a lot less of anxiety. And honestly, you can tell that the time is not taking forever and ever and ever when you know, well, I'm waiting for this, I should expect this, and this is the process and the order of things. Because there is actually a specific and unique process that we have to utilize in the emergency department so we can serve the community the best.
Well, first let's start with if you are experiencing something that you begin to think should be an emergency, what do you recommend people do? I mean, should they call, for example, they call their doctor's office and let's say it's off hours? Or, you answer. So what should they do?
So if someone feels like, well, I have a problem and I'm feeling gradually worse and I really need to know kind of what the next step is, that might be a situation where they could call their primary care doctor, and their primary care doctor's offices are usually pretty good about saying, well, you know what, that's something that can't wait. Go on into the emergency department. Let those doctors take a look and see what needs to be done. You know, the urgent care is a situation where usually it's a relatively minor concern, but because of, you know, busy work schedules or because of some concern, although it didn't warrant the level of, oh, call 911 and go to the emergency department, but it really needs to be dealt with for the person's feeling of well-being. They need that help. That sometimes an urgent care can fulfill those roles. But the emergency department is really a place to come for any obvious serious injury or illness, where even if the patient just perceives, or an individual perceives, that you know, this could cause me serious harm. I'm very concerned. I feel unwell. And I feel that if this gets worse, I may be seriously ill
impaired.
Or injured.
Right.
And so those patients should come and allow us to help them through that process and help us do that assessment. Obviously, if someone has chest pain, stroke signs, or involved in a major trauma, 911 is the answer. They need to call an ambulance and get into the emergency department.
I think that's
right away.
A key point here, though. So this whole notion of a family member taking you to the emergency room, do you generally try to dissuade people from that idea?
I think if you're very concerned that you're having a serious life-threatening event, there's absolutely no role for family to take you to the hospital. And I think one way to think about this is just imagine your family member or friend is in the front seat trying to drive the car, and you're suffering, and something happens to you that's very clear to them that is unusual or abnormal, or you're getting very severely worse, or God forbid you were to have a heart attack or pass out. They're probably going to respond poorly, and their ability to drive both of you safely to the hospital is going to be severely impaired. So that would be a risk to you, them, and everybody else on the road. In addition, in cases where you're severely injured or ill, the ambulance providers, the paramedics, the critical carers, and the medics and the EMTs, are going to do a lot of care on the way to the hospital, and they're going to make the emergency department staff aware of what's coming in and what you may need when you arrive.
So that everything is seamless. The
Correct.
Whole idea is that your care begins as soon as the EMTs arrive.
Absolutely. In fact, in some cases, care begins when you talk to the 911 call taker. They can give instructions.
You what to do.
Exactly.
So that actually 911 really is the answer in any case if you think this is an emergency.
Absolutely.
So then what can people expect? What is triage? I mean, you hear that term all the time. What can people expect when they arrive?
Well, triage, you know, without going back into the history of how triage began, triage is a process by which the vital signs of a patient, their chief complaint, their historical features, what kind of medical problems and surgeries they've had in the past is all formulated into a snapshot of what is causing the problem today.
So they take this very long history, or not long, but they take an extensive history of what's going on right now, what might have happened before, et cetera, and then on that basis, what do they do?
Well, like you said, it seems like a lot of information, but actually they're gaining in a very rapid format. And with those physiologic signs, the vital signs, and along with that other information they've collected, they assign what we call a severity index. And so they basically try to say, you know, how severe and how time dependent, how many services are going to be required to take care of that initial complaint. And so patients are basically ordered in that fashion. So if you come in with severe chest pain and it's clear that you're having a heart attack, you're not going to be waiting in the waiting room in order behind someone who has small laceration that may not even need to be sutured. Obviously, you would want the patient with the heart attack to go first.
So it's a prioritization, basically.
Exactly. And our goal is, the triage goal is actually to put people in some semblance of severity classification, but not to necessarily delay people's care who don't necessarily rise to that absolute highest level of severity. In fact, it's quite the reverse. If we implement triage and throughput properly, everyone will get timely care. Simply the resources will be allocated properly, so you'll go to the correct location in the emergency department and get seen by the correct folks.
And if you need subspecialists or specialists, they'll be called accordingly and be able to be expedited, get them there more quickly for
Absolutely.
Your help.
Absolutely.
So what kinds of let me ask you this. If you know, you're having an emergency, you jump in the ambulance, and the ambulance comes, perhaps family members come along. What happens if family members are with you? What happens to your family members? I mean, are they included in things? Are they excluded? How about if there are kids involved, if you bring kids with you, which you may not be able to help?
Right, and we're fully aware that people have family members, friends, and children that have to come with them because there's no one else to care for them, especially in that moment's notice of a pending emergency. And so we have some capability with some of our services that we provide through the emergency department to help those folks have a comfortable place to sit. And if the patient chooses them to be fully informed, we can keep them informed as well as things go on. A lot of times, if there's just one or two family members, they can reside in the room with the patient as long as it's not affecting their overall care. If someone's in a major accident and they're having a full trauma resuscitation going on, obviously it's more difficult to allow family members.
Nor would you necessarily want them. It can be quite traumatic if it's children.
And a lot of people would choose not to see certain uncomfortable procedures performed. But we want to accommodate patients' families because they're part of the healing process.
Mm. How about things like food? I mean, for example, if it's a long wait, let's say you're there just because of the nature of the day and there are so many patients in the emergency room, is there food made available for the patients and their families?
We actually do have a limited way to provide food. Now, if a patient's going to be in the emergency department for an extended period of time, and we know they're being admitted to the hospital, and we're just waiting for a room upstairs, usually we invoke our standard food service. So a lot of patients, especially waiting for admission, they can receive what we call a food tray, but that's actually a standard meal from the hospital cafeteria. When it's just a bad timing, we can sometimes accommodate with snacks, but the patients and patients' family members usually prefer something from the cafeteria. And the cafeteria is conveniently located close by
to our facility. So they can access food.
Oh, yes.
Easily. So the big question always is the wait. So, and I know it's variable because of the nature of what emergency departments offer, which is we can't tell how many emergencies there are going to be in a given day. So on average, what would you say? Is there a goal that you have for a wait time? And if so, what is the average?
Well, it's very difficult to say. Just like you said, it's very variable. Obviously, our goal is to have a no wait in the waiting room process for all of our patients. Obviously, if we become inundated with a lot of emergencies and all the rooms and treatment spaces are filled, that's some folks are going to have to wait a brief period of time. However, we've at University Hospital, we've done a lot of things recently to improve our processes, get patients through, not only in the emergency department, but also upstairs in the hospital, and get them out when it's time to be discharged from the hospital. That allows us to move our patients upstairs faster and overall gives a better patient experience from door to door. And that's a real strong and important goal of all services at University Hospital, and we're focusing very closely on how we can improve patients' experiences.
In your mind, how is the emergency department at Upstate University Hospital different than others in the area?
Well, we offer a lot of different services, to be honest with you. We have the trauma center, we have this comprehensive stroke center, we have the pediatric emergency department, and we have a lot of subspecialists that take call, that not necessarily take call at other institutions. We're very proud of our consultants in ENT and ophthalmology, orthopedic surgery, just to name a few. We have neurologists on call. We have pediatric cardiologists and other pediatric subspecialists that can respond. We have pediatric surgeons. So this is a full-service tertiary referral center. So our emergency department, even though most patients just require our services in the emergency department, when your emergency requires care by a subspecialist, University Hospital has many, many services on call.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to continuing this segment. I think we're going to learn an awful lot from you and from all the people you're going to bring along with you. So I want to thank you again for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Derek Cooney, and he is the Professor of Emergency Medicine, the Director of Emergency Medical Services and Disaster Medicine at Upstate University Hospital. Stay right with us. We'll be right back after this short break.